radio.co.uk and on 107.1 FM. Hello and welcome to Ignite Somerset, 60 minutes of art conversation. Now, very often when I'm in the 10 Radio studio, I'm here on my own or with another artist perhaps, but I'm very fortunate today because I'm joined. They're laughing at me as I speak. Wendy's laughing at me. I'm very fortunate because I'm joined today by five female artists, performers, radio producers, writers, creative writers. I'm joined by Sue, Wendy, Jan, Kathy and Linda from Highbridge U3A. Hello.
Hello, Richard.
Hello. Now, I want you to move yourselves nice and close to the microphones. We've got a lot to get through in the next hour. Now, I've been very fortunate to be able to work with you recently through some work with Somerset Film on a project that was a radio play project. And I wasn't quite prepared, I have to confess now, and I've not said this to you before, quite for how cheeky the radio play that you produced was. Jan's looking angry at me now. and where was the initial germ of the idea to create this radio play? And can you tell the listeners what the play's called? Who's going to start here? I think it's Linda. Linda's...
Oh, right.
Come on, Linda. What's the play called?
The play's called Male Members Wanted.
Okay.
It's basically about an amateur dramatic society. They're putting on a play, but they don't actually have enough male members.
Mm-hmm.
So the good old ladies of the village, and who happen to be members, mm-hmm. are all desperately searching around and seeking male members from whatever quarter we can find them.
Okay, it's a wonderful script, actually, and you actually prepared that prior to me coming in and doing some work with you to record it. Yeah. Was that creative process of writing, I mean... Was that an easy... Did it come naturally to you?
No.
No. Kathy, you said no. No.
There was lots of arguments.
Lots of arguments.
Lots of personalities and people throwing ideas around. So, of course, we've all got different ideas, different personalities that we're bringing into the play.
Mm. But that's a creative process, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But everything we've created before had been simply individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more difficult. It's kind of like the committee making a camel for a horse, you know. It was quite difficult to work together.
Yeah.
And I think we should say discussions rather than arguments.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but like I say, I mean, that's the collaborative process, isn't it, really? You know, I guess you all bring your own ideas, and then it's a way, you need to find a way in which you can pull all of that together and have it gel into a single piece of work. So how did you feel when, I know you've heard it, and the listenership of 10 Radio. We're also going out on GFM, by the way, which is sort of the Glastonbury equivalent of 10 Radio. So listeners, if it's Tuesday, then you're listening and you're probably listening to 10 Radio. And if it's Thursday, you're listening to the repeat and you're probably in Glastonbury or somewhere in Mendip. So your work, U3A Highbridge, is going far and wide. How does that make you feel?
Terrifying.
Yeah. And proud, I suppose. Yeah. Proud as well.
Yes, I do. So, Wendy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Wendy, how long have you been part of U3A?
When we met up just to do this journey here to Iveliscombe, we were thinking about that. And I think I'm just about 12 months, that's all.
Okay. And 12 months ago, did you think that you might be involved in this process of writing a radio play, recording it?
No way. It was being persuaded by, excuse me, a couple of people already in the group to say, come along, you know, have a look and see what it's like. So, so no, I mean, I didn't know what it was going to be, and I don't think any of us thought that we'd be doing what we're doing now.
And end up writing and performing a play.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And where... on the way over, we were talking about U3A, and some of the listeners might not know what it is. So can you just explain to us what actually U3A is? I know it's a national thing, isn't it? What is it about?
Well, it stands for University of the Third Age, mm-hmm. and I think every group in whichever town or village they are, their members decide for themselves how it runs. Mm-hmm. We know of some groups around where we are in Highbridge that it's very based very on carrying on learning mm-hmm. After you've retired, because that's what it's about. People who are 50 onwards who no longer work full-time employment.
Yeah.
And as I said, some want to carry on learning in a structured way and perhaps get qualifications. Highbridge tends to be very creative in their way of carrying on learning, such as beading and jewellery work, mm-hmm. Card making, crocheting, knitting. Mm. Come on, help me.
Patchwork.
Mosaics.
Mosaics. Yes.
Mosaics.
Yeah. Yeah. And painting. Oh, yes. We had an open day last week and there were some beautiful paintings that was exhibited by the group there.
Yeah.
So that's how our group, U3A Highbridge, operates. More, as I said, on a creative, but some take it down the real route of carrying on learning, and that's where the university part comes from.
Yeah.
I think one of the nice things is that we only meet once a month, and therefore it keeps it fresh. And we meet in either people's homes or in community centres or in churches. We can meet anywhere, and the group facilitates this work for free. Mm-hmm. And so it's only really the cost of the tea and coffee. Mm-hmm. So it's always a very local level, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And there's a photography group as well, I believe.
Oh, yes, forgot that one. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So you learn... So the University of the Third Age in Highbridge, in particular, isn't that sort of formal thing. It's about creativity, having a bit of fun, and kind of seeing where it takes you. And like you say, Wendy, you never would imagine that 12 months ago you'd have made a radio play.
No. And we have fun, don't we?
Well, yes, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Yeah. It's not just learning, it's actually meeting up with other mm-hmm. people, remaining active, mm-hmm. whether it's mentally or physically, and having fun.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we've worked all our lives, we've reached a time in our life that it's now time for us.
Yes.
And enjoy ourselves.
And unlike the traditional route to sort of education, we kind of... We're not caught in some of the school holidays. We'll go straight through and Christmas and whatever, you know.
Mm.
And, of course, they run at Highbridge actually a coffee morning every week, so it serves quite a purpose for people who are actually a bit isolated who come and have a coffee and just a chat with people that they
That's
know
true,
every
yes.
week.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also produce a magazine bimonthly, and for those who sort of don't get to the centre, they still know what's going on.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. What I'm loving about what you're talking about is, because I've heard the radio play, so I'm listening to you talking as you are yourself, but I'm imagining the character in the play. Where did those original ideas come from? I'm guessing.
Well, I think
interesting.
The original concept actually came from Grace, who isn't unfortunately with us today, mm-hmm. and then everybody was putting in because we all had a character.
Yeah,
and then everybody was putting in little bits that they wanted their character to be or portray, mm-hmm. and from there it sort of built up.
Mm. Okay, should we have a listen to it now? Do you think?
Yes.
Do you think the general public are ready? I mean, this is the premiere. Of, what's this called again, Wendy? Linda, sorry.
Male members. Wanted.
Okay, so shall we just go for it? Shall we just see?
Yes.
And I mean, you can actually email in, listeners, at studio@tenradio.org with your thoughts, and maybe you'll be inspired to go and make your own radio play. Okay, well, let's play the premiere of Male Members Wanted.
The U3A Highbridge present the short play, Male Members Wanted.
It's so annoying, Aggie. You always keep us waiting and you never open up on time. Oh, that's her pathetic attempt at power games. She likes to think that she's in charge.
Well, she is in charge of the village hall, Evie. Here am I, I'm treated like a dog's body for their precious village hall. Don't they know that I'm the caretaker, the most important person? That humdrum group need taking down a peg or two. Especially that nuddy. All right, all right. Keep your hair on Evie. Morning, all. Still raining, is it?
Oh, well, let's just get out of the rain and have a nice hot cup of coffee.
Watch what you're doing with an umbrella.
Hang on, I think she's about to start.
Aggie, can we have 6 coffees and biscuits over here, please?
Hold your horses, Maddie.
It's Madeline, if you don't mind. Hell, considering that Aggie is the caretaker here, why does she never have the sense to put the heating on when it's cold? Ida, she's your friend. Couldn't you have a word with her?
Oh, poor thing, it's her memory, you know. I expect that's why she failed the audition. Couldn't remember her lines. I expect the poor dear's still smarting over the rejection. Well, now, anyone got any ideas for enticing in some new male members? Madeline, what about you? You have lots of men visiting you.
How dare you, Ida?
No, I meant at the post office, my dear.
Well, the male species, yes, but not what I'd call men. And anyway, we need a couple of really fit guys to play the parts of the air pilot and co-pilot. The majority of my male customers are just picking up pensions. Now, when I chaired the AmDram in Woolloomooloo, we had no problem getting men to the meetings, since they were held in the only pub in town. But the trouble was, after a skinful, they'd just want to play at stage fighting, like Errol Flynn or Douglas Fairbanks.
Who are they? Oh, before your time, dear. Couple of heartthrobs they were. Imagine Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, but like 70 years ago. Like him they were.
As well you know, I've managed all my life without a man. They're a waste of space as far as I'm concerned. Personally, I think we should choose another play. Then we won't have this problem. I think male members are nothing more than an unnecessary appendage.
Ooh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, they do have their uses, Madeline.
Yes, and I could never run the farm without them.
I don't think there can be too many plays without men, except perhaps one set in a convent. And even then there's the odd priest around to take their confessions.
Oh, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in that confessional.
Yes, Mary, well, be that as it may. While I don't mind organising the wardrobe, I am not making 6 nuns' habits, and that's a fact.
Oh, well, if we must put on this play, we need to rustle up a couple of blokes. Rose, are any of the farmhands willing?
Oh, they're willing, all right, but not to perform in public on a stage.
Well, perhaps you could talk George or your sons into auditioning. We really need 2 studs for this play.
Studs? The only studs on our farm are the 4-legged kind out in the field. And the studs in my earlobes. No, Jeff's getting married soon, so he's far too busy. And our Harry, he's still doing his Morris dancing. The Piddle Underline Morris men have bookings all round the neighbouring villages. And as for my George, well, he might think of himself as a stud, but he falls far short if the truth be told. I mean, to start with, you couldn't prize him away from his pint at the Dog and Duck of a night. And you know what that does to the nether regions. Besides, I know he's a bit of an idiot, and he couldn't act his way out of a paper bag, but he's my bit of an idiot.
Oh, well, no joy there, then. So what about your hiking club, Evie? All those sturdy male walkers. There must be some likely men there.
I don't know about that, Lucy. I was hoping to get my hiking group interested. Some are quite fit and would look great in uniform. But the young ones, well, them in their 40s anyway, they only come hiking for the pub lunch and to chat up Mary at the Dog and Duck when we get back. I think most of them would consider themselves too macho for play acting. I suspect a couple of them might be happier playing lumberjacks in a Monty Python skit. And honestly, can you see bald, bandy, old Bert Harris passing for an airline pilot? That would really take some imagination.
I wonder what they're talking about.
What's with Aggie? Has anyone noticed that she seems to be hovering around and listening in on our conversations?
Oh, ignore her. She's just jealous.
What about your pub regulars, Mary? Any luck there?
No. I've asked the dance team, the bowling club and all the regulars. I've even put on my sexiest low-cut dress to try and worm into joining. But apart from enjoying the free show, no one showed any interest. Seems like nothing will come between a man and his pint. On the other hand, I have to say the effort I put in is good for business at the pub.
I can imagine that, dear.
But, short of kidnapping some of them, I can't see what else I can do. Mind you, I've got another sparkly top, very low cut and very tight. My Gary says it's a real curtain raiser. Maybe I should try that. But hey, girls, I'm not the Pied Piper.
Well, it's worth a try, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, I'd say so. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Oh, and by the way, my mate Paul is an artist and does great Rubenesque nudes, and he's offered to help with the scenery.
Oh, I know Paul. His mother is a great friend of mine. Yes, he's got some lovely nudes in his bedroom. His mum showed me them one day when he was at work.
Well, you never know, Mary. Once we get him there, he might get the acting bug.
I wouldn't bank on it, Rose. He's always been a shy lad, keeps himself to himself, generally. These days, apart from the odd pint at weekends, he spends nearly all his time in that room with the new ladies, you know.
I just can't understand why we haven't attracted any male members. What about you, Lucy? Surely, as the vicar's wife, you must be familiar with all the male members at the church. And what about the vicar and the verger?
What's that you say? Oh, sorry, dear, I was miles away. I was just trying to remember if I gave the children their packed lunches this morning. And if I didn't, the dog will have eaten them. Oh, I mean the sandwiches, of course, not the children. Did you say something about the vicar and a virgin?
No, the vicar and the verger. But hold that thought. It's virgin, not the ridiculous.
Well, I can't really think of anyone who might be a suitable male member. The vicar certainly couldn't be seen on stage with his trousers around his ankles, could he? He'd be made a laughing stock. And the verger is stone deaf. I could ask the organist, but he lives only for his organ. Aggie, that chest of yours sounds really bad, you know. You should go and see Dr. Moffat. Oh, well, I must be going. I have to get to the Unmarried Mothers Club. And that's one club where we don't need any more members. Bye, Aggie. We'll all be here on Wednesday for the Amdram auditions. Can you make sure that the heating is on, please?
Yes, no problem, dearie. Bye.
I'm off too, girls. See you all on Wednesday.
I'm not good enough for their precious amateur dramatics, am I? But I'll get my revenge. I'll ring Maddie later and tell her I've got two perfect candidates for the role of pilot and co-pilot. That'll put the cat amongst the pigeons. Right, in you come. The hall's all set out for you. The heating's on and the kettle's just about to boil. I'll go and brew the tea.
Wonder what's put her in such a good mood. Right, settle down now, everyone. Now, first of all, has anyone had any luck recruiting new men?
Not so far, but has anyone noticed there's a sold sign at Liberty Cottage? No sign of the new owners yet, but one of them is probably a man.
Well, you can never tell these days, Mary. Could be two men. Or two women, even.
I met Doug Fairweather in the village. He's been abroad for a month on his honeymoon. I invited him to come along this evening, and he said he'd maybe try. But it wasn't very likely, because his wife June, who's 8 months gone, could go into labour any day now.
Oh, why can't folk get things in the right order these days?
Oh, Evie, you're so behind the times. There's no right order anymore. Don't you know?
Yes, don't I know it? Why, just 2 weeks ago, Maisie Parker's daughter walked up the aisle, dressed in white, mind you, with her three little daughters as bridesmaids.
Well, I still think it's wrong putting the cart before the horse like that. My parents would have been horrified.
Well, dear, it's a good job you never thought to get married then.
Oh, did you get my message, Madeline, about the two chaps coming tonight to audition?
Yes, that's great news. At last we seem to be getting somewhere. OK, Lucy, pass these scripts round. What time are they arriving, Aggie?
Oh, they're here now. I've just seen them coming onto the car park.
What on earth are they wearing? Are them those platform shoes? How on earth do they walk in them?
They're holding hands. The one on the right's very handsome, isn't he, Evie? And oh, they're wearing false eyelashes.
Sorry, fellas, it's not panto season yet.
Evie, leader of the hiking group, was played by Wendy Hughes. Aggie, caretaker of the village hall, by Kathy Taylor. Ida, the local widow, by Grace Galton. Madeline, the postmistress, was played by Janet Rain. Mary, the barmaid of the Dog and Duck, by Sue Bashford. Rose, the farmer's wife, by Kate Lloyd. And Lucy, the vicar's wife, was played by Linda Knight Rees. Male Members Wanted was produced by U3A Highbridge, working with Somerset Film.
Ignite Somerset.
It's art on the radio.
Featuring contributions from artists,
curators,
filmmakers,
musicians,
photographers,
poets,
technologists,
performers,
and a host of others
who add to the cultural life of the county.
Somerset Film, together with 10 Radio,
showcasing innovation in the arts.
On 105.3 FM and at 10radio.org.
And now broadcasting on GFM. Listen at glastonburyfm.co.uk and on 107.1 FM.
Hey, give yourself a clap. U3A Hybrid, why don't you just give yourself a collective clap?
Yay!
Brilliant. I love the line about Rubenesque nudes. I think that's fabulous. I mean, really well performed. I remember coming over to meet you all at Linda's house, and we actually recorded that just in a front room there. I mean, did you learn quite a lot about the process, the technical process, if you like, of, because I remember having a conversation with you about recording. I don't want to give away all the magic of the play, actually, in a way, but did you learn about that process, that, you know, that it doesn't have to happen in real time, that we can rearrange things in editing and so on?
Yes, that was quite a surprise to actually see you. It was not all running in the same order, and yet when you finished with it, not only are the sound effects in, but it's all in exactly the order that it should have been, especially when we came to Aggie's part, Kathy, who was sort of doing hers all separately, her pieces and her speeches and her little sound effects, and yet it all slotted in exactly where it should have done.
And I think I could go through your kitchen now. I know where the vacuum is.
Actually, just for the listeners, that's quite a nice little story, isn't it? I'm going to call you Aggie from now on, I think, because you're the caretaker of the village hall. The way you use the kitchen, just making sound effects happen.
That comes naturally.
But you were able to put it to a really good use in the sound effects department for the production of our radio play.
Yes.
And I think, Richard, the way you did the sound effects, it really sounded as though Aggie was not part of the group. She was sort of pushed to the side somewhere and had to shout to make herself heard. And I just thought it sounded really good as the sound effects of that.
Yeah, Aggie and Jan, do you know I said to get closer to that microphone? Do you know, I've realised for the whole show so far, I've had you halfway down. I'm ever so sorry.
Oh,
but
I'm not sure I want to be halfway down.
But now
halfway
up. Now all of the listeners have got full access to your full tonal range. I am very sorry about that. You could be heard, but you were a little bit quiet. Where are you going to take all this next, do you think? I mean, you know, if you've gone on this little creative journey, where might you go next? I mean, I was really struck with when I first met you, I was really struck with how you shared some stories with each other. And I think a lot of what U3A does, it's about that camaraderie, isn't it? And about being together and sharing stories and ideas. And you were reading some creative writing, passages of creative writing that you created, and you were laughing at your own work. And I thought that was, you showed so much confidence in your own sort of creative writing. And I thought when we recorded this, that radio play, they were really good performances and really convincing. I mean, are you hoping to take these newfound technical skills and your ability to write creatively and to perform? Where might this go next?
Well, Sue's written a really good panto that I think we should produce if we were going to produce anything, a Christmas panto.
Right.
Yes, I think that would be a good idea.
So what's this about, Sue?
Well, it's like a traditional pantomime, but a bit skewiff, really. But I've tried to put all the all the normal things in it behind you, you know, the rip tights and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I've just laughed at doing it at home. My daughter was laughing because she was living with me as well.
Okay.
So it's just something I...
So, Sue, this is your work, and it's a bit skewiff, you say, and I'm wondering whether, actually, this rate, were you the sort of slightly left-field sort of coming in at a strange angle thing with this
Rubenesque place? Yes, that was Sue.
Was the Rubenesque nudes?
Yes, that was Sue. Yeah.
That was your line. Down, she's the left angle.
I don't know whether it's skew-if as much as a bit risque.
It's a bit risque.
Risque.
Yes.
Okay, so Sue, you're the risque influence.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Okay, I'm a bit worried about where this might go next.
Yes.
Okay, are we going to in fact be able to broadcast your next piece on air?
I think it's you could broadcast that.
It's broadcastable.
Because one of the girls that does the Andram...
is it a post-watershed?
A local Andram. She wanted to take it to the their sort of acting thing and do it.
Okay.
And so
it is doable.
It's doable.
It's doable, yes.
And do you think that having done this first piece of work, the next piece of work, it's going to... You have an idea of how it might all slot together. Yes. You've been part of that process now.
Yeah. I think we've got a better idea, than what we initially had.
Mm.
I think it's fair to say that there's only half the group here today.
Mm.
And there's, and in that half group that's here, there's only a couple of us who've actually... heard the pantomime, so you know we'd have to get everybody together and go through it, but I think we're all a little bit drained after this because this was an experience for us, completely new.
It's a big piece of work, isn't it? I think when people hear, I mean that piece of work is 10 minutes, but people don't really see the work that goes into it.
No.
I mean, before I even met you there was a lot of work, wasn't there, in the writing process. So yes, so okay.
And I don't know how long the pantomime was. I can't remember.
No,
but that was probably
possibly the same.
About sort of the same,
length.
The yes. same length. Yeah,
but I think you feel more confident the next time round, though.
Yes.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose with an insight into the making process, the editing process, that probably affects a little bit the way you might write something, possibly.
Mm. I think what we didn't realise that because it is radio. And people can't see all the characters. We had to make sure that we introduced each character by name in for their next part, so the audience knew who was coming next, as in speak.
That's quite clear in the play, actually, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think with the writing process this time as well, we'll be looking at more of the sound effects to go with what we're writing, particularly music.
I think that would be fun, yes.
Yeah,
I do. I think you could have a lot of fun with just pure sound effects alone, especially at...
And certainly a lot of arguments.
Oh, yes. We could have a lot of discussion on that.
So,
you could just come and record one of our meetings.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Probably more amusing than the play.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I like the idea that you get together and you kind of chew the fat and you sort of battle it out to arrive at something that's really, really good. And I think that's a really good message to send out to... I mean, what message would you send out to other people that are approaching retirement age? You know, I mean, you need quite a lot of energy, don't you, to sort of go through that creative process, that collaborative process. And like you say, there's creative challenges along the way and disagreements, but before you arrive at a point, what message would you give out to it? Because, you know, a lot of people approaching retirement age might not know about U3A, but it seems to me that for you guys here, it's kind of really energised you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think we all do. We're all part of different groups within the U3A.
Yes.
We don't just do the one. And it's an old saying that I used to hear before I retired, and old retirees used to say, I never found time. I don't know how I find time to go to work. And it's true, because sometimes we have to say, oh, I can't do that because I've got so much on this week. I just need time to myself, you know. Yes. And
I agree entirely with what Wendy's saying. In fact, I mean, I am new to the area, totally. Yes. I come from the Midlands. And I was seriously concerned about the isolation, the loneliness, starting a new life after retirement. Left friends, family, everybody behind. We're not all local Somersetonians here. In fact, quite a few of us are incomers, as we're called sometimes. But in fact, I have found, and I think people need to be aware of the fact, that there is a lot out there. You've only got to look for it. U3A is perhaps one of many things that you can look, and whatever subject you've got in your head that you'd like to do, it's a means of not only doing the subject you enjoy, but meeting new people.
It's that first step over the doorstep.
It's the first step. Yes. And
that's what takes a lot of courage sometimes.
Mm. And we're very fortunate because Highbridge is very friendly. We have a reputation of being a friendly U3A group.
Absolutely.
I think because it meets every week and people are introduced and nothing is expected of them. They just then find the groups that they might be interested in.
Sure, okay.
I mean, I've only been here 2 years. And when I came to the U3A, because I knew no one, I've got a husband. And he was the only one I knew, obviously. But, I mean, I came into the U3A. And
what did your husband think of this play with Angel? He must be used to you, Sue.
He knows. Yes, he knows I'm always doing strange
Johnny's
things.
Johnny's busy laughing here. Okay, with your skew-if angle on things, I quite like that. Okay. Yeah, so sorry, Sue, carry on.
Yeah, so I came into the U3A. That was the first group I approached, really. Mm. And then Faye, who runs it, she's just put me on the what they call the West Huntsville table. It's not really all West Huntsvillians or whatever they call themselves, but I hit it off with people straight away, really, the first week, so it was really good.
Okay. I'd like to return to that thing that you were talking about, Linda, about arriving in the area and feeling that need to have a community around you. Mm. So right after this.
It's easy to feel socially isolated, and at times we all need some support. Somerset You Can Do is a brand new free service that can help you to gain confidence and move forward. Perhaps you would like to volunteer, or perhaps you're looking for support yourself. Here's Sue, one of our volunteers.
So an admin job. Was interviewed by one of the staff and she said, we've got an exciting new project, would you be interested? And that's how I volunteered. Well, I like helping people.
Hello.
Hi, it's
me. Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Being a volunteer involves meeting people like Kat, causing me lots of mischief and laughter, I suppose. We have a great time together.
Like a coffee.
Not too big, though. Small one.
Okay.
I've had my ups and downs, but with Sue's help, she helped me realise that I could maybe go to college and maybe get onto a childcare course.
Through the help from Sue and Somerset You Can Do, Kat is ready to move ahead as a volunteer herself. For her, the sky is the limit.
I could hopefully get a job that I've always wanted to do further on down the line.
Somerset You Can Do. Helping yourself through helping others. Contact us on 01278 664 180 or visit our website at somersetyoucando.org.
They understand the needs you have and they help you with what they help you in the best way that they can.
Hello again. We're back in the 10 Radio studio. Now, for people who are listening to the show for the very first time, this is Art on the Radio, Ignite Somerset. Ignite Somerset is a project managed by Somerset Film in Bridgewater and funded by Arts Council England. And that little piece that you heard there, Sue and Kat, that was a production with Somerset Film, made by Somerset Film, working with Somerset You Can Do. And U3A Highbridge are here with me. Jan's busy taking photographs. She's just put her camera down on the desk there. That was what that knock was. And I've got your mic on now, so everything's ready to go. This process of you creating this play, we're not all here. We don't have a full complement of male members wanted cast list here, do we? Linda, who's missing?
No, we've got Kay Lloyd, who played the part of Rose, the farmer's wife.
Excellent accent.
And her accent was absolutely wonderful. Mm. She was brilliant.
Thank you, Kate. If you're listening, thank you for that.
And also Grace Golden, who was the local widow.
Yes.
And she was also very instrumental in her input in the play as well. Mm. So there's two members missing.
Okay. Two members missing, yeah. Okay.
Not and male members.
And there was lots of male members missing, yes.
Yes, yes. Do you think that this kind of work, that particular play, I mean, I felt, it sounded, when I was listening to it here in the studio with you and you were all sort of chuckling away at it, it sounded so professional. So, you know, the performances sounded so, it sounded like something you might listen to on Radio 4 or something like that of an afternoon, I thought. Do you think that we could find, it'd be great to find other platforms to play this, I think. We're going to play it out on GFM on Thursday. Do you think that we could play this and it might be of interest to other U3A groups?
I mean, you talk,
Kathy, about the magazine that goes out.
Yes.
And presumably that's got photographs and stories in it of what's going on nationally.
Yes.
It'd be great. Is there a U3A radio station, I wonder? I mean,
not to my knowledge.
Richard, that's where you can come in.
I think we should do it.
And we're looking for some male members of the U3A anyway.
Okay, yeah. Well,
I do know that it is being listened in London.
Okay.
At the moment, via the computer connection, and also in Coventry.
Okay. Well, you are listening to 105.3 FM, or if you're on the internet, you're listening to 10radio.org. Do you think that things like this, little pieces of work like this, as well as generating enthusiasm and interest for to getting other people involved in U3A, do you think it also might go some way to challenging stereotypes? Associated when you reach a certain age, you sit back, kick back, put your feet up, you know, but you're out there busy doing this, that and the other. And on the way over, you were talking, Jan, about your swimming, your thing for swimming outdoors and all the other activities that U3A get on with. Wendy, when I first met you, I didn't realise this at the time, but a few years ago, you were busily involved in a dance project. Do you think little pieces of work like this, little projects like this, when they become visible, challenge some of those stereotypes?
I think that's initially what we were thinking. We definitely didn't want to go down the line of getting older and just sitting there and getting older and sitting there and getting older. We wanted to show that just because you'd finished that part of your life, the working part of your life, you could go ahead and move on and do other things that you enjoy doing.
Mm.
And that is one of the things that we wanted to show as part of whatever we created with the creative writing group.
Yeah.
That anybody can do it.
Yeah. And looking at the positives, definitely the positives.
Another discussion I think that's quite interesting to have is that thing of, you talked about some U3A groups elsewhere focus very much on learning in a fairly formal way. And Wendy, you were saying that actually your group in Highbridge are much more interested in creative activities and learning sort of informally. And it made me think of, I drew a parallel with when you talked about that, with work that Somerset Film sometimes involves itself in, working with young people who find it difficult to engage in the curriculum. So they're finding it difficult to engage in, you know, English literature or English language. And so we might work with that group of young people to shoot a film, make a radio play, make a comic strip or something like that. I think there's a sort of a parallel there. I mean, do you think that there is? I mean, presumably you've gone through the process of writing this radio play and sort of battling it out almost and collaborating and going through that journey together. You're learning all the time, aren't you? And learning creatively, I suppose. And, you know, so you've got quite adventurous ideas with your next Skewiff pantomime project. Do you think that, you know, that's probably the best way to learn, in fact?
I think probably some of the young ones as well, who are not academic, would probably learn by performing the and being the character, say in Shakespeare or something, you know, it just, the words mean nothing to them for some. But if they could be portraying those characters and doing the sword fencing and the swashbuckling and all that would actually help them down that road and help them to understand, you know, the written word then.
Yeah, interesting.
That's actually it could be good as well if we did something with hidden messages, sort of in terms of health promotion ideas, you know, in a fun way.
So actually... Oh, that's interesting. So you're talking here about being involved in a creative process, which is also a learning process.
You could produce some subliminal messages.
Yeah.
And sort of just a fun way to sort of try and work that into our writing, really.
So you're almost here talking about creating sort of resources that are teaching things to do with healthy living or whatever it might be.
Yes.
That's really interesting. I think we've got a really good creative team here.
And I do think that young children have a natural affinity with people of our age. And we should be more involved with them.
I mean,
not
even
just
in
our own family, but
even in the play, really, we talk about Aggie's cough. I mean, you could sort of develop that to say you've smoked all your life and consequences of smoking.
That's interesting. Sue, I really like that thing you were saying. You know, that affinity with young people.
Well, I have an affinity because that was part of my work because I was a nursery nurse for many years as well.
Okay.
And I love being with the kids. And
And Sue's the only one amongst us who's got grandchildren.
Yes, and I've got grandchildren who only live 2 minutes away.
Linda's putting her hand up here.
Not only grandchildren, but I've also got a great grandchild.
I'm not into the greats, yeah.
Sorry, I meant locally, they have a lot to do with.
So I'm not local.
So after the pantomime...
I finished the pantomime. Cause that's something I did last year. And we did it, we had like a final like meeting. We had like a fun thing and I did like pin the tail on the donkey and stuff like that. And we did the pantomime, made it through, didn't we?
Okay.
I was proposing we might record it.
That would be really good, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Because it was very funny. Mm.
I wonder where the next big piece of work, we've done this piece of work Male Members wanted. I'm wondering where the subject matter for the next piece of work is going to come from. Aggie, I'll call you Aggie, I think, because you're the caretaker. I'm wondering whether it is going to be this project that has these learning messages in it as well.
Well, Richard, are you likely to be recording it for us?
Shall we do it now, live on air? Let's just do it now, live on air.
I think we should thank Kathy and Linda for their hospitality because their houses is the one that we've met at most, and it's, you know, it's not always convenient, but they're always willing for us to share their homes when we meet once a month.
It's great fun.
It's a pleasure to have you.
It is, yes, it's great fun.
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't probably write if I weren't in the group, but it gives me the inspiration to do more.
I wonder if there's a little thing here that I'd like to just pursue for the next few minutes. I might play the radio play again, actually. I have got some other things on my computer that I could have played, but I think playing it again after listening to you, it will give a context to the listeners. I think that could be good to possibly play it again. So this next piece of work is going to have this learning thing going in it, and you know now that you can do it. Did you think... I'm wondering when new technology comes into this, because we were able to do this, Linda, in your front room at your home, because we've got access to great equipment now that's very portable. Before, you know, years ago, we'd have needed loads of kit and lots of, you know, very expensive kit and a team of people to produce something like that. But are you interested in new technology? I'm just kind of interested in that. For you guys, because there's probably a perception that young people are the ones that are interested in new technology, but I meet a lot of people of retirement age who
are interested in new technology,
writing books, uploading to Kindle, using social networking. Is this something that and is that a vehicle for you, do you think, to showcase your play? And
I'm always interested in learning new things.
We were talking about technology, on the way over our U3A not actually having a website yet, whereas other U3A groups do. I think that would be a useful thing to have.
And of course you can do this sort of thing with, you know, you don't need lots of expertise in coding, and you don't need a big bank balance either to do it. You can do it for nothing. So maybe that's where the next piece of work, maybe that's where the next piece of work lies.
I think we should add that this play has been really the sideline of what we do every month, because we have exercises and subjects to write about every month.
Every month we do a 500-word exercise, and the subjects are determined by the group. And what we do, we all think of a subject, and we pick the pick the title out of the hat, and that goes for that month. And we also do a 60-word challenge.
Yes, this was when I first met you, wasn't it? You were.
Yeah.
The memory I went away with was how you were all laughing so much at the work that you'd created.
Yes, yes. And last month we wrote a subject about allotments, but it was great. It was Wendy's idea, because Wendy's got an allotment, and there are lots of funny scenarios that occurred about garden sheds.
I said we're quite risque sometimes in what we write about, but yes, I mean, I think. On that exercise, there was only one really about growing stuff. All the others were about what happens on allotment. And Jan's took the word allotment as into sharing out things rather than the gardening. So, you know, we have this title, but we take it wherever, you know, we like. We have Kay, who we've mentioned, not here. She's very much... looks back into her life and can change a lot of the subjects to her past life. Sue is very out of this world and looking into the future in the way she writes.
She's very futuristic.
Yeah, so we all have our different styles, and as I said, the play was an extra to what we do each month.
Excellent, very busy people. Just, we've only got a couple of minutes left to talk, in fact, so I'm going to play this play again. It's so wonderful. I asked you earlier... what message you'd like to give out to other people who are in their 60s, 70s. Wendy, what would you... I'm looking at you. What message would you...
I think just as you said, Richard, get out and go and try it. Because there's nothing to say that you've got to stick to anything. And the more things you try, the more likely you are to find something which is your little niche.
I would say that people may not regard themselves as writers, artists, photographers. It's simply going along and having a go at, and maybe you will find out that you have some creative ability, even if not great ability, just to enjoy those things.
Brilliant.
And get really good company.
Brilliant. It's about that, isn't it?
Yes.
About having fun together.
Yeah.
And sometimes something brilliant emerges out of it, like this wonderful play, which we're going to play again. What's it called again, Linda?
Male Members Wanted.
Oh, let's do that again. All together. What's it called, guys?
Male Members Wanted.
The U3A Highbridge present the short play Male Members Wanted.
It's so annoying, Aggie. You always keep us waiting and you never open up on time. Oh, that's her pathetic attempt at power games. She likes to think that she's in charge.
Well, she is in charge of the village hall, Evie.
Here and I are treated like a dog's body for their precious village hall. Don't they know that I'm the caretaker, the most important person? That humdrum group need taking down a peg or two. Especially that Maddie.
All right, all right. Keep your hair on, Evie. Oh, no. Still raining, is it?
Oh, well. Let's just get out of the rain and have a nice hot cup of coffee.
Watch what you're doing with that umbrella.
Hang on, I think she's about to start.
Aggie, can we have 6 coffees and biscuits over here, please?
Hold your horses, Maddie.
It's Madeline, if you don't mind. Hell, considering that Aggie is the caretaker here, why does she never have the sense to put the heating on when it's cold? Ida, she's your friend. Couldn't you have a word with her?
Oh, poor thing, it's her memory, you know. I expect that's why she failed the audition. Couldn't remember her lines. I expect the poor dear's still smarting over the rejection. Well, now, anyone got any ideas for enticing in some new male members? Madeline, what about you? You have lots of men visiting you.
How dare you, Ida?
No, I meant at the post office, my dear.
Well, the male species, yes, but not what I'd call men. And anyway, we need a couple of really fit guys to play the parts of the air pilot and co-pilot. The majority of my male customers are just picking up pensions. Now, when I chaired the AmDram in Woolloomooloo, we had no problem getting men to the meetings, since they were held in the only pub in town. But the trouble was, after a skinful, they'd just want to play at stage fighting, like Errol Flynn or Douglas Fairbanks.
Who are they? Oh, before your time, dear. Couple of heartthrobs they were. Imagine Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, but like 70 years ago. Like him they were.
As well you know, I've managed all my life without a man. They're a waste of space as far as I'm concerned. Personally, I think we should choose another play. Then we won't have this problem. I think male members are nothing more than an unnecessary appendage.
Ooh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, they do have their uses, Madeline.
Yes, and I could never run the farm without them.
I don't think there can be too many plays without men, except perhaps one set in a convent. And even then there's the odd priest around to take their confessions.
Oh, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in that confessional.
Yes, Mary, well, be that as it may. While I don't mind organising the wardrobe, I am not making six nuns' habits, and that's a fact.
Oh, well, if we must put on this play, we need to rustle up a couple of blokes. Rose, are any of the farmhands willing?
Oh, they're willing, all right, but not to perform in public on a stage.
Well, perhaps you could talk George or your sons into auditioning. We really need two studs for this play.
Studs? The only studs on our farm are the four-legged kind out in the field. And the studs in my earlobes. No, just getting married soon. So he's far too busy, and our Harry, he's still doing his Morris dancing. The Piddle Underline Morris men have bookings all round the neighbouring villages. And as for my George, well, he might think of himself as a stud, but he falls far short if the truth be told. I mean, to start with, you couldn't prize him away from his pint at the Dog and Duck of a night, and you know what that does to the nether regions. Sides, I know he's a bit of an idiot, and he couldn't act his way out of a paper bag, but he's my bit of an idiot.
Oh, well, no joy there, then. So what about your hiking club, Evie? All those sturdy male walkers, there must be some likely men there.
I don't know about that, Lucy. I was hoping to get my hiking group interested. Some are quite fit and would look great in uniform. But the young ones, well, them in their 40s anyway, they only come hiking for the pub lunch and to chat up Mary at the Dog and Duck when we get back. I think most of them would consider themselves too macho for play acting. I suspect a couple of them might be happier playing lumberjacks in a Monty Python skit. And honestly, can you see bald, bandy, old Bert Harris passing for an airline pilot? That would really take some imagination.
I wonder what they're talking about.
What's with Aggie? Has anyone noticed that she seems to be hovering around and listening in on our conversations?
Oh, ignore her. She's just jealous.
What about your pub regulars, Mary? Any luck there?
No. I've asked the dance team, the bowling club and all the regulars. I've even put on my sexiest low-cut dress to try and woo them into joining. But apart from enjoying the free show, no one showed any interest. Seems like nothing will come between a man and his pint. On the other hand, I have to say the effort I put in is good for business at the pub.
I can imagine that, dear.
But, short of kidnapping some of them, I can't see what else I can do. Mind you, I've got another sparkly top, very low cut and very tight. My Gary says it's a real curtain raiser. Maybe I should try that. But hey, girls, I'm not the Pied Piper.
Well, it's worth a try, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, I'd say so.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Oh, and by the way, my mate Paul is an artist and does great Rubenesque nudes, and he's offered to help with scenery.
Oh, I know Paul. His mother is a great friend of mine. Yes, he's got some lovely nudes in his bedroom. His mum showed me them one day when he was at work.
Well, you never know, Mary. Once we get him there, he might get the acting bug.
Oh, you wouldn't bank on it, Rose. He's always been a shy lad, keeps himself to himself, generally. These days, apart from the odd pint at weekends, he spends nearly all his time in that room with the new ladies, you know.
I just can't understand why we haven't attracted any male members. What about you, Lucy? Surely, as the vicar's wife, you must be familiar with all the male members at the church. And what about the vicar and the verger?
What's that you say? Oh, sorry, dear, I was miles away. I was just trying to remember if I gave the children their packed lunches this morning. And if I didn't, the dog will have eaten them. Oh, I mean the sandwiches, of course, not the children. Did you say something about the vicar and the virgin?
No, the vicar and the verger. But hold that thought. It's virgin, not the ridiculous.
Well, I can't really think of anyone who might be a suitable male member. The vicar certainly couldn't be seen on stage with his trousers around his ankles, could he? He'd be made a laughing stock. And the verger is stone deaf. I could ask the organist, but he lives only for his organ. Aggie, that chest of yours sounds really bad, you know. You should go and see Dr. Moffat. Oh, well, I must be going. I have to get to the Unmarried Mothers Club. And that's one club where we don't need any more members. Bye, Aggie. We'll all be here on Wednesday for the Amdram auditions. Can you make sure that the heating is on, please?
Yes, no problem, dearie. Bye.
I'm off too, girls. See you all on Wednesday.
I'm not good enough for their precious amateur dramatics, am I? But I'll get my revenge. I'll ring Maddie later and tell her I've got two perfect candidates for the role of pilot and co-pilot. That'll put the cat amongst the pigeons. Right, in you come. The hall's all set out for you. The heating's on and the kettle's just about to boil. I'll go and brew the tea.
Wonder what's put her in such a good mood. Right, settle down now, everyone. Now, first of all, has anyone had any luck recruiting new men?
Not so far, but has anyone noticed there's a sold sign at Liberty Cottage? No sign of the new owners yet, but one of them is probably a man.
Well, you can never tell these days, Mary. Could be two men. Or two women, even.
I met Doug Fairweather in the village. He's been abroad for a month on his honeymoon. I invited him to come along this evening, and he said he'd maybe try. But it wasn't very likely, because his wife June, who's 8 months gone, could go into labour any day now.
Oh, why can't folk get things in the right order these days?
Oh, Evie, you're so behind the times. There's no right order anymore. Don't you know?
Yes, don't I know it? Why, just 2 weeks ago, Maisie Parker's daughter walked up the aisle, dressed in white, mind you, with her three little daughters as bridesmaids.
Well, I still think it's wrong putting the cart before the horse like that. My parents would have been horrified.
Well, dear, it's a good job you never thought to get married then.
Oh, did you get my message, Madeline, about the two chaps coming tonight to audition?
Yes, that's great news. At last we seem to be getting somewhere. OK, Lucy, pass these scripts round. What time are they arriving, Aggie?
Oh, they're here now. I've just seen them putting onto the car park. Oh, good.
They've got something for the mask. What on earth are they wearing? Are them those platform shoes? How on earth do they walk in them?
They're holding hands. The one on the right's very handsome, isn't he, Evie? And oh, they're wearing false eyelashes.
Sorry, fellas, it's not panto season yet.
Aggie! Evie, leader of the hiking group, was played by Wendy Hughes. Aggie, caretaker of the village hall, by Kathy Taylor. Ida, the local widow, by Grace Galton. Madeline, the postmistress, was played by Janet Rain. Mary, the barmaid of the Dog and Duck, by Sue Bashford. Rose, the farmer's wife, by Kate Lloyd. And Lucy, the vicar's wife, was played by Linda Knight-Reese. Male Members Wanted was produced by U3A Highbridge, working with Somerset Film.
GFM's random playlist.